Yep. Okay. I call the City of Franklin's Common Council to order. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Olson is excused. Alderman Solomon.
Here.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderman Skaronski.
Here. Please rise. Join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next item on agenda is citizens' comment period. Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Any citizens wishing to speak? Yes, sir. Good timing.
Well done. You're bigger than I am. You go first.
You're older.
Yay!
Hey, you're older. You have more hair, too. That's not right.
That's not a hurting guy, I'll tell you.
You have more hair. That's not right.
My name is Kurt Fulton. I live at 8035 Western Creole Drive, Franklin, Wisconsin. Along with Alderman Schmidt, I am a member of the Environmental Commission. One of the issues before you today is the wetlands over at the Rock. I think the Environmental Commission was unanimous in their feeling that those wetlands that are over the wetland cap probably will be going away, and we didn't have any problems basically approving that and approving mitigation. But at the meeting at which the developer was at and the developer's engineer as well, it was mentioned that there was some documentation that was missing. There wasn't any jurisdictional determination by the U.S. Corps of Engineers, and there wasn't anything from the DNR directing the applicant basically to fill the wetlands. We didn't think this was an issue, but you know, we sort of felt that was something that should be there before it came before the Common Council. It's not that hard. It's more or less just a phone call. Tell these people we need something for our files. The information should be able to be sent. So I guess I'm sort of surprised that that isn't part of the package. And I don't know why the development engineer couldn't get that done. The other issue that was raised was that mitigation wasn't really specifically addressed within the recommendation by the Environmental Council commissions. And I will have to defer to the attorney on this one. I don't know the UDO that well, but I do believe that it's 15-4.0103 that does address mitigation of wetlands, which is not in the document that is before you. So I would have hoped that you know it would have came before the Common Council in a little bit more finished form, but I do want to note that these things should have been addressed. Well, it's up to the Common Council to decide what they want to do with these issues.
I think we all know you, but the clerk had mentioned to me, are you a candidate for office?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I am running as a candidate of the 2nd Aldermanic District.
Thanks, Kurt. Yes, sir.
Mr. Bolton neglected to mention I'm better looking than he is, too. My name is Casper Green. I live at 3519 West Forest Hill Avenue. And I got up here to say something that I'm very, very disappointed about. And that is the fact, and I hope I'm not stealing somebody else's thunder, but that is the fact that we have an opportunity to win $25,000 to renovate the fire station number one's kitchen. And I tuned in this afternoon at 2 o'clock, maybe 5 after, and we are right now 10,468 votes behind. We started out, jumped out in the lead, just like the rabbit and the tortoise. And all of a sudden, we're behind, way behind. Now, we have about 1,100 homes in Franklin, and we have about 35,000 citizens. We have about 1,400 kids in high school, and probably half or two-thirds of that many in grade school. That all of those kids know how to use a computer. And for some reason or other, we are not trying to win, our best at least, we're not trying to win that $25,000. Now, I don't want somebody from Franklin to come to me and say something about the high taxes in Franklin because we're going to have to renovate that kitchen sooner or later. I went over and I talked with the fire chief, who, by the way, is a very personable type of guy. He took me in and showed me the kitchen. And I certainly wouldn't want to have, I don't want my firemen to have to be in that kitchen because it is getting in pretty bad shape. Now, we can win this contest. We got 12 more days to do it until the end of the 30th. Of March. We have 12 more days. Now, if we can get the kids and the grown-ups to go and vote every day, we can win this thing. We can pull back and go back ahead. But don't come around to the mayor, who has worked very hard to keep our taxes low. I think we're second in the county as far as Franklin City taxes are concerned. The Common Council has worked very hard. Our finance people have worked very hard to keep our taxes down. $25,000 is not a lot of money when you consider the millions of dollars that we spend each year, but it's $25,000. And I think we ought to be trying harder to win this. Now, if we don't get out and win that $25,000, don't blame somebody because your taxes go up a penny or two next year, because it will be your fault, the citizens of Franklin.
Thank you, Mr. Green. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir. If you could, please state your name and address for the record.
Ron Papp, 9621 South 6th Street. I'm concerned about this proposed sewer. It's coming in front of my house. And a couple of people in the area have not received the letter that was sent out, and I thought it was supposed to be sent to everybody. Why wasn't it sent certified mail? And wouldn't that results of the survey, which I don't know yet, that might not be accurate if not everybody got the letter. And it's going to cost me at least $25,000, and I don't even know how much to hook up besides that. And that's a lot of money. I really don't want to. Just want to say I'm very much against it. I have a mound system that's fine. You have to hook up within a year, which I think is unreasonable. It should be like, if your system is good, you should be able to keep that until it fails, then maybe hook up. Those are some of the points I was wondering about, why not everybody got letters. And if, say, the survey does come out that are more made votes instead of yes votes, or is the city still going to go ahead with it anyway? Or will you abide by the results?
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Sir. Yes, sir.
John Bickleg, 7809 Stonebrook Court, Franklin. Speaking in favor of the resolution before you tonight, the Complete Streets resolution, as chairman of the Complete Streets and Connectivity Committee, just wanted to say a few words and also offer myself for questions if you have any during the discussion. In 2012 alone, over 110 jurisdictions have adopted policy or resolution regarding complete streets. It's endorsed by the AARP, the American Planning Association, American Public Health Association, the National Association of Realtors, the American Society of Civil Engineers, and the Metropolitan Builders Association. Group of mainstream principles that the American Association of State Highway and Transportation Officials have incorporated into their Green Book. Creates options for young and old and differently abled in terms of connecting our city and building our economic development resources. The resolution does not propose policy, but it's a procedural step, and that's important. It simply initiates a conversation, gives council approval to the committee that we created to seek and make recommendations, working with the Parks Commission, Board of Public Works, plant staff, et cetera. As far as impact on property values, a survey of 15 real estate markets from Jacksonville, Florida to California found that a 1-point increase in walkability of a neighborhood as measured by walk score increased home values by $700 to $3,000. So a lot of people would agree that that's a good thing. And again, if during the discussion you have questions, I'd like to offer myself to answer those. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Anyone else wishing to speak? If not, we're going to close the citizens' comment period and turn to item 2A. And anybody here know a guy named Gaylord Hahn? Oh, and there's pictures of this. I'm wondering if Gaylord might join me in.
Yeah.
Help me over there?
Just, there was a picture left.
You're all going to need a little help getting up to it.
We got the guy that's abandoned us. Sometimes he's surrounded by two good guys. You have a lot of well-wishers. And,
I see.
I saw that. Oh, there she is. This young lady right here, Kathy. In all seriousness, we have a rare opportunity, and we have a rare gentleman with us tonight. And that's the word that everybody uses, gentleman, for Gaylor. This is Inspector Hunt. He's actually second in command of your police department. Has been in charge and watching out for your safety for 40 years. Chief Oliva, we have our we meet regularly, and during the course of this, he said, "Oh, by the way, you know, Gaylor's got 40 years in. 40 years for a law enforcement officer, one community, hometown boy, right? Went to high school, and probably Kathy too. That is that's really rare, and we are so honored." Have this gentleman that has protected us all these years. With that, I'm not embarrassing you. I have a certificate of recognition. Whereas Gaylor M. Hahn was duly appointed patrolman to the city of Franklin on March 12, 1973, and whereas he has progressively taken greater responsibilities, including that of police corporal, police sergeant, police lieutenant, and inspector of police. Whereas Gaylor has distinguished himself as a faithful and dedicated employee, exemplifying high standards of public service to the city of Franklin for the past 40 years, and has contributed immensely to the safety and security of the city through countless hours of dedicated vigilance. And whereas Gaylor exemplifies professionalism in the law enforcement community, and I'll have Alderman Solomon read the press.
And whereas Gaylor is hereby recognized and honored for his valuable contribution and commitment to this community on the occasion of his 40th anniversary of service in Franklin.
Now therefore, I, Thomas M. Taylor, Mayor of the City of Franklin, do hereby present the certificate of recognition. I'm not going to give you this piece. The Gaylor M. Hahn to acknowledge his receipt of this well-deserved award and call upon all 35,400 X amount of residents of this city to join me in congratulating an outstanding member of this community, signed Thomas M. Taylor, Mayor of the City of Franklin.
Let the kids take a picture.
Yeah,
there you go. That's a bad.
Make sure we see those cards, too. There you go. How about another round of applause? Kathy and the entire Hahn family for sharing Gaylor with us over these last 40 years. And there's been a lot of times where
I know that you probably wondered how he was doing on certain occasions, so thanks, Cap. All right, next item is, I've got to put my glasses back on. That's Wisconsin Historical Society Notice of Entry in the National Register and or State Register of Historic Places for the Root River Parkway. Well, much of this is Greendale and Hales Corners. This is quite an achievement. I wanted the public and the Common Council to be notified of this honor. We also have any questions on that? Item C, an Eagle Scout project proposal at Franklin's Public Library by Austin Hamlin, Troop 530. Barbara and Eagle Scout Hamlin, we have information in our packet, but did you want to come up and just briefly describe what you're going to try and do for the community and your efforts to raise some funds for the project?
I do have a handout that I could give you all. I'm not sure what information you all have.
We have pretty much everything.
Pretty much everything. Yeah. Okay. Like Mayor Taylor said, my name is Austin Hamlin, and I came here tonight to propose an Eagle Scout project that I'd like to do at the Franklin Public Library. The project I would like to do is to install two elevated gardens on a patio at the Franklin Public Library. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the patio. There's a patio in the back, and I'd like to install these elevated gardens around the perimeter of the fence, as well as put in what's called a mow strip. A mow strip is a strip of landscaping that's essentially there to help ground crews when they cut the grass. This way they can cut the grass right from the mow strip with their lawnmowers as opposed to coming around with a weed trimmer, so it just makes it easier for them. There's similar mow strips on the property, so I've designed them to match the mow strips already there. And I also want to provide plants. I believe Mrs. Rourke and everyone at the library agreed that they want some sort of pizza garden or salsa garden, and the plants would then be planted by the kids during the summer reading program.
I think that's pretty much it. I wanted to make sure that the Common Council was aware of your project, because it's going to serve not only all the people in Franklin, but all the visitors to Franklin. And many of these Eagle Scout projects have greatly benefited our city. And Austin, like many of the other Eagle Scouts, need the assistance of whoever they can get the assistance from, and that also means donations. So I just want to commend you for your project and wish you well, and I'm sure the aldermen will try and assist you as much as they can as well. Alderman Schmidt?
I would just like to commend you on achieving your objective here. As a member of the library board, I know that you had to do a lot of maneuvering to reach this point where you found something that was going to meet the approval of the inspection department. So we look forward to the success of your project.
Thank you. Lynn Solomon, did you have anything? Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Good luck. Barbara, do you have anything to say? Or?
Yes, this will be the fifth project that the library will be a beneficiary of, and we've just enjoyed every one of them, and that they've helped immensely, and of course it's helped in a sense with the Franklin taxpayer as well. So we're excited to work with him. Thank you, and thank you for the support of the council.
All right, thank you. Next item is update on the Wisconsin Department of Transportation's Wisconsin 241 construction project. I, along with many other people from the community, attended the most recent hearing where drawings were put up about what the DOT was planning. I've asked Mr. Bennett to see if he can arrange a meeting with Dwayne Johnson, regional director for the DOT. And the reason for that is there were a number of concerns raised about what I'd say, and I'll let Alderman Skronsky speak for himself, but about what things that we were under the impression had been guaranteed in former discussions, such as monument signs and other signage for 27th Street. As you know, since the inception of the project, what was first envisioned and then what has gone into place regarding DOT commitments, et cetera, has changed. My opinion, and Ted Grinch's was also at the public hearing, we thought that these were some pretty substantial changes to what we had thought had been agreed to. And I think it goes to the character of what the city has been trying to accomplish. There were some people at the meeting that tried to say that, the higher-ups in the DOT basically tell the technicians what they can or cannot do. They urged us to talk to our legislators about seeing what can be done to keep the monument signs and other things into the project. But for the moment, I think the recommendation is to eliminate some of these things that we, all of us, had come to believe were guaranteed. So with that, I'll look to Alderman Skronsky to see if you have any comments.
Yeah, there's been a lot of years of planning and hard work by all the aldermen, the Economic Development Commission, and a lot of the business along there to make that roadway a very attractive and appealing roadway for the future of this community. And again, we're partnering with Oak Creek along with it. So we're very concerned about, as we achieve the higher acceptability and the amenities that go into that road, we don't want to see it diminished and come down to just a plain street. So we have a quite concern on that, and we'll be talking with our elected officials, Honerdale and Stone, regarding that on that roadway. So we will continue to make sure that things stay in place.
Okay. I don't know if I saw Joel Deedle. He's here. Just so you know, I've asked our planning manager to go back and revisit some of the minutes of some of the meetings, one in particular that occurred in Oak Creek, where I believe Dwayne Johnson and representatives from Oak Creek were present, and we went pretty much down, looking at Alderman Taylor, because we went down a listing of things that both Ford Franklin Committee and Oak Creek had agreed to. And I thought on that list was some of the things that now were being discontinued by the DOT. So I don't know if Mr. Deedle has had the ability of getting those minutes, or have been able to look at the agreements or your notes on that. You have, okay.
My notes.
I believe Mr. Johnson may have been in that meeting. So when we try and have another meeting with Dwayne Johnson, we can resurrect all that, and I'll probably be inviting Alderman Taylor to the meeting, and I believe Commissioner Ryan was at the meeting as well. So and Doug Seymour and a few others. So anyhow, I made some mention a couple weeks back of some things that we had heard about, and now I'm here to tell you that we went to the meeting and many of the concerns that had been raised actually are very legitimate concerns. So, yes, Alderman Wilhelm.
Do you know what percent completion plans were shown at that meeting?
I do not.
As I asked Mr. Bennett for the newest ones, he only had the 60%, which is what's here in front of me. But if I'm going to be answering constituents' calls, it would be nice to have the most recent ones, at least for the pertaining aldermanic districts. So that would be Alderman Taylor and myself should have those sections, College, Drexel, to the end of his district minimum.
Well, I totally agree with you. It seems to me, and maybe Jack, since the beginning of the project, we've had HMTB that's been the consultant for Oak Creek and Franklin, but we've also gone through a number of DOT technicians, and now we have I've seen the gentleman before, but I think this is the first time I saw him at a 27th Street meeting. So we need to work through all this. I just wanted to let you know that for the moment it looks like there's been a fairly major deviation from the original plans. And I agree with Alderman Wilhelm that Alderman Taylor and herself should have whatever plans, most up-to-date plans as we can. Okay?
Thank you.
You now turn to approval of regular meeting March 5th.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Turn to item E1, Gene Ninneman, Weed Commissioner of Cutting Services.
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, five ayes, no noes. There's a request for a roll call. Okay. Madam Clerk.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skarns.
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. You now have before you the name of Charles Porter, who's with us tonight, for Board of Public Works, Aldermanic District Number 6.
Make a recommendation to approve.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Just want to... I've seen you many, many times at all the Eagle Scout presentations, and I've seen you actually sitting next to the gentleman to your right many times. First, I wanted to thank you for accepting the appointment, and I know that you've been in the community many, many years, and you're also a tool and die maker, which is one of the higher arts that's around. I was just looking at Casper because I think he used to represent many of the tool and die guys, right? All right, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skarns.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Tyler.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Salah.
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You have the name of Randy Grass, Civic Celebrations Commission, who's been a long-term volunteer for the Civic Celebration.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Just under some comment, the reason that... got some names to you a little bit later than I had. I was looking at trying to convince some other parties in the city to participate in the Civic Celebrations Committee, but due to their commitment, I'm looking right at Greg Marceau, so that they couldn't at this time. So I want to thank Mr. Grass for putting his name forward, and I see he's in your aldermanic district.
Well, actually, he's in Alderman Olson's, but he did put my name down because I was like, Elm Court. That's
of course.
That's all right. I'll take him, do just fine on there.
We won't tell Alderman Olson.
Right. No, that's okay.
As usual. All right. Madam Clerk, could you please take the roll?
Alderman Sound.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Taylor,
aye.
Alderman Schmidt,
aye.
Alderman Skarns.
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. I would ask, we have a number of applications that have come in for many positions in the city, but I would ask the Alderman, if you know competent people that you'd like to have their names move forward, please forward those names on to the city clerk for appointments. Letters and petitions, you have in your packet a letter from Dwayne Johnson, Director of Southeast Regional Division of Transportation, and it's regarding the ICC's resolution that urged the Wisconsin Department of Transportation to effectively manage stormwater impacts of its construction projects located within the Milwaukee Metropolitan Sewage District. Dwayne is a very nice man, and he wrote us a letter back on behalf of Secretary Gottlieb. But it basically says that while they appreciate the resolution, they have a lot of policies in the state that they would have to follow, and they believe that they are up to snuff in doing their duties as far as stormwater impact. I don't think many of the MMSD commissioners necessarily feel the same way. But just so you know, on behalf of all the municipalities, we wanted to bring it to their attention. Item two is a letter from Joseph O'Brien, Interactive Health, regarding winning City of Franklin winning Healthiest Companies in America Award. And Dana Zahn is not here, but this is really a reflection on the good work of the Personnel Committee for the city and the council for backing wellness programs. And it's also Mr. Liberta is the unofficial director of human resources for the city. This is also to acknowledge all of your good work and all the people that you've worked with to make this possible. So thank you very much. Any questions or comments on that?
No, great job.
Letter from Peggy E. Romo West, 12th District, Milwaukee County Supervisor, regarding the Milwaukee County Mental Health Complex. Normally this would be an ICC issue, but I bring it to your attention because, as you know, we've had the municipalities, Franklin, also, we've had mental health patients that normally would be housed in the mental health facility appearing on the doorsteps of our police stations over the last few years. I made mention that there was an initiative by the ICC to look into litigation about suing Milwaukee County regarding those issues. Subsequently, some talks were initiated with the Corporation Counsel's Office and the mental health staff, the County Executive's Office. This goes way back to, I think, when Scott Walker was actually the County Executive. And a number of us took Supervisor West up on her offer to tour the facility. So I and Mayor Scafidi, Guy Johnson from Shorewood, and the mayor of St. Francis, we took a tour of the facility. I'm happy to report, and I think Alderman Taylor, Supervisor Taylor, would probably agree with me on this, it's quite remarkable that for the age of that facility, how well they're maintaining it. And I also wanted to say that the dedication that was shown by the staff of that large facility, it's very clear that they weren't putting on an act for us. They really do care about the patients. It was very clear that they are highly professional individuals, nurse practitioners, RNs. And they're trying to do everything they possibly can to try and manage a very, very difficult situation. For those of you that haven't been at the mental health facility, it is an extremely large complex that you could get lost in a very short period of time. The last piece of this, and the reason I have this on the agenda, is the mental health professionals said that they will try and do whatever they can to try and work with the municipalities in trying to minimize the impact upon our police departments. And they've created Schuler Drive, the Schuler Circle, where the people are either dropped off or picked up, and they've computerized their records and they've streamlined the process. So I was very impressed, and was very impressed with the professionals that work there. And it's apparent to me that they are trying to do everything possible to, again, manage a very difficult situation. So I think all of the mayors and village presidents really appreciated that. And then Supervisor West showed up at the last ICC meeting, along with Hector Colon, who's the Director of Health and Family Services for Milwaukee County, and gave us some brochures and contact information. And also we're working with our police chief about working with all the police chiefs in Milwaukee County about making Milwaukee County a safer environment. So anything... any questions? Yes, Alderman Song.
The county has proposed to close that facility, right?
Well, I think a portion of the facility, the long-term care units, for the moment. You might remember that there was an initiative by then County Executive Walker to move much of the facility to the old St. Mike's Hospital, but that didn't pan out.
It appears right now, from what I've read on the subject, is that they want to have everybody move out of there and move into neighborhoods throughout the county. And I would urge the future council that you're going to have to be very careful with this. The state just placed two sexual predators on the south side of Milwaukee. They're being, $2,400 a month for this facility, and they've placed two sexual predators in it. And houses around the neighborhood rent for around $1,000, but the state's paying $2,400 a month. So that was a controversial issue on the news this late news this afternoon. So the future council is going to have to watch where these placements occur and be very, very careful. I know we have sexual predator legislation, but this is going to be right up there with it.
Well, yeah, Alderman Taylor.
Well, the county exec has, and the board's been working on it for years prior to the county exec's state of the county address, which was in Oak Creek. The mayor was there, Alderman Wilhelm was there, I think Alderman was there. And his plan or his proposal is to, over the next 3 years, to basically move the long-term care units into community-based mental health facilities, which they're following. I mean, state law kind of says that it should be community-based, plus it's 3-to-1 in the private sector, what it costs to house, take care of one person with the county. So that, but that still needs board approval. You know, there's kind of different tracks of what's going on this subject matter. But then also with the facility, the mayor is absolutely correct. It is an extremely large facility. You can easily get lost. I mean, I took a tour. I was there 2-3 hours back in, I want to say, July or August. And, I mean, much of it looked the same, even though the people in it were completely different from one segment to another to another. And but the long-term plan will be to completely, you know, demolish that entire facility, build something smaller, and use that to expansion some of the medical facilities. That was in the long-range study that the county did by CBRE. Is that facility going away and us basically selling it off and letting that be developed? So we don't need a lot of that space is being leased out. Some of it's empty. So it's a large building that's not fully utilized.
Well, I can. The other reason I brought that forward is because you are correct. There is a large initiative to walk away from the mental health facility and basically to open up neighborhood facilities. And I'm not going to get into too much of that. I think that I would say to Mr. Deedle that I think this is a subject that should go on a future plan commission agenda for discussion.
Well, I will say one thing is former supervisor Sam Filippo, now state rep Sam Filippo, was very strong in pushing for this. He wants it community-based. And Supervisor Jurcik sent the representative, Sam Filippo, a letter asking him to give us 3 locations in his district of where these would, he'd like them. And to this date, we have not responded. He's not responded back. So, you know, when people push for these types of things, these people are going to somewhere. And if you're going to have every community saying, not in my backyard, we'll have problems. So, this is going to be a hot topic. And the Journal Sentinel did articles in peril, patients in peril. This is a hot button issue. But the advocates packed the courthouse for our committee of the whole in support of it. So, there's a push for this.
Yeah, that's another reason I brought this issue forward is so that you're aware, so that you don't become aware the day after some legislation goes in place. And next thing you know, as alderman, you're getting phone calls. So we are all now aware, and we're probably going to have a discussion at the Plan Commission meeting over this. Any questions or comments? If not, I'm going to move to item G1, Standards, Findings, and Decisions of the City of Franklin. Common Council upon the application of the Rock Sports Complex, LLC, for a special exception to certain natural resource provisions of the City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance. Alderman Wilhelm and then Alderman Solomon.
Well, I wanted to try to jump in before there was a motion to approve, although I did say I would support this and I'm still very supportive. I do have the same concerns that the Kurt Bolton on the Environmental Commission brought up regarding some information that I don't think was presented accurately. And that is the statement in the planning staff's memo that says that no core jurisdiction is needed. Or actually doesn't say that. It says that they have received that jurisdiction order from the core, which is incorrect. And I based that on several facts. The fact was that the Corps was never asked for a JD, jurisdictional determination. They were asked for concurrence with a wetland delineation, and that is what they gave. They gave concurrence with a wetland delineation based on two wetlands, neither one which are the ones that are going to be impacted. So the Corps probably should have been asked to give a jurisdiction on all the wetlands, especially the ones that were going to be filled. Nonetheless, they should have at least been asked for a jurisdictional determination on the one that would be the most likely to be under the jurisdiction, and that's the one very near the Root River.
Mr. Deedle? Please come up and take the hot seat. There's been some issues raised. I think you were here when Ms. Bolton at the Civic or at the Citizens Comment Period raised it, and Alderman Wilhelm's concerns.
It is correct that the Army Corps, it's usually a normal step for an applicant to not only get official approval of the wetland delineations, but also to ask for official determinations of jurisdiction. The Army Corps, we called the Army Corps, we talked to Anthony Jurgen. He stated that he did not receive a request for a jurisdictional determination, but if he was to receive with such a request, he would state they don't have jurisdiction except for the wetlands that are immediately adjacent to the Root River, which are not being impacted by this project. The DNR also called me unsolicited.
Can I stop him for a second there? Because that's not incorrect. That's not correct. Because the wetland that they did not ask for jurisdiction is being filled next to the Root River. That's wetland. And I have an email from him.
It's an isolated wetland. I was talking about the one that is connected physically to the river.
Right, and their plan does say that it's going to be removed.
Yes, the project applicant is proposing to fill in 4 or 5 wetlands, isolated wetlands, small isolated wetlands. One of the wetlands up by the road in the woodlands is not being filled. All 4 other wetlands are being requested to be filled.
And this one is the one that's right next to the river, which is requested to be filled, which
correct.
Would be the most likely one that they would have jurisdiction over, and there's been no determination. I'm fine with the project. In fact, they may determine that this isn't even in their jurisdiction, but the problem I have is the report and the standards and findings that both the Environmental Commission and the Plan Commission and now the council are making a recommendation approval are and say that they have received that, when in fact they haven't. So I think that the recommendation throws in at the very end that they receive all their permits, but when this project came forward, just like the Meyer project came forward, I said the city always ends up being looking like the bad person because the proper procedures aren't followed to get those overriding jurisdictional authorities permission, and for us to say go ahead and fill something that we have really no authority to do that over above state and federal, I think that's a line we shouldn't be walking.
Well, I think there's a major difference in what I'm hearing with what you're contesting and what Mr. Deedle is saying, and that's that he did call the person in question about the jurisdictional issue. He basically said that they do not have jurisdiction.
And here is an email from Anthony Jurgen today at 2:42 regarding the Army Corps not claiming jurisdictional statement.
Well, I guess
that is likely in reference to my telephone conversation with Heather Patty, she was the wetland delineator, stating that we would not have jurisdiction over isolated wetlands. Note, those areas mentioned were never verified and a jurisdiction was never performed. We may not have jurisdiction, but it was not confirmed.
Is that from her to the staff?
That is from Anthony, who's the person at the Army Corps of Engineers, to myself when I asked the question, because I could not find any documentation that said that they actually had it other than planning staff's report that said they did. And I couldn't find anything from the DNR either, but I thought I'm not going to go there with that. But I thought the most important one is really the one that's next to the Root River. We want to make sure that, and like I said, it's probably covered in here, but procedurally, for to have a staff report that two recommending bodies are basing their decision on to have an inaccurate statement pushes forward a project further than it probably should be because it's not ready. So I just want the council to be aware of where we're at with those statements and what kind of things we step into when we don't get the proper verifications. I don't think we want to provide anyone, any other development, any attorneys, any reason that they can come back and say we've treated anyone unfair or unequal in our standards and findings, and this, you know, that's a concern of mine. And I don't think we should be treating any development, whether how much we like it or not, any different than any other development. And the city should not want to jump in the middle of a approval in a higher jurisdiction prior to following the proper procedure, which is also suggested in our own ordinance that we have those provided. So the recommendation to adopt, like I said, does say that they do, it's contingent upon, or there's a decision that they do get those permits. But I, at minimum, I think the staff report should be corrected, that that's not, that is not a correct statement that they have made that jurisdictional determination. It's a, what we need to understand is a JD is different than a wetland concurrence. And I think that's maybe where some of this problem is coming at. It's one thing to say the boundaries are right. It's another thing to say that it's not connected to the waters of the state and there's no impact to the public health. And that's my concern.
For the Environmental Commission, did the planning staff and the Plan Commission, did the planning staff make recommendations to those bodies?
To the Environmental Commission, we don't. We only provide technical review and responding to technical questions. To the Plan Commission, we did.
What was your recommendation?
We recommend approval. We also recommend approval with no mitigation.
Okay. And you recommended approval that, in essence, all the ordinances in the city are being followed?
Yes, the city ordinances. This is just for the city's ordinances with those conditions to get those other permits.
Okay. I mean, I think it's very important. We've had two parties, one who's been the chair of the Environmental Commission in the past and also conservationist of the year for the state, raising some pretty large issues. And the council needs to know that what they have in front of us is proper, and that would stand up, well, you never can take, you can be certain of a court order, but some pretty good certainty that if this was challenged in the court of law, that this would stand up. So as a planning manager, do you?
Yes, from the all I can speak on is the city's regulations, and I'm comfortable.
The city attorney?
The findings proposed and drafted within the council packet for consideration by the Common Council do incorporate the Environmental Commission findings. I recall that, and I double-checked here this morning real quick, but reviewing the Environmental Commission recommendations after hearing the citizen comment session earlier, because I did not recall there being any question in regard to Army Corps or PNR permits, or that mention being brought up within the recommendation by the Environmental Commission, which states it voted upon its recommendations, and it still appears their recommendation is silent. But the approval is conditioned upon obtaining all necessary state and federal permits. I think Alderman Wilhelm mentioned two or three times that covers this concern. And I don't want to get into this issue of who should go first, the local government or the state or federal governments with regard to these permits. But I think Mr. Vito gave a relatively long presentation recently, I think it was at the Planning Commission of that council, about how he raised that issue with the state or federal government staff or administrators, and you will hear that those people will not go the expenditure of time and resources until they know that the local government is interested and in an approval mode for the project. And I don't want to hear because that could go on forever. Right? That's who goes first, and it's a chicken and eggs. And finally, with regard to the issue of mitigation under the Unified Development Ordinance, there is a memo from the city attorney's office somewhere in the last 3, 4, 5 years that does say that on code review, the UDO does allow for mitigation as a discretionary as opposed to a mandatory result from an application for a special exception to natural resource use protection.
Alderman Sullivan?
It's my recollection, outside of the one that Alderman Wilhelm brought up, the one next to the river, that the DNR has been involved with the other ones from day one. And for those in the audience, you should realize that the previous operator of the landfill created the wetlands. Wetlands do not belong on top of a landfill. So the DNR just kind of went, we're getting out of this, because you had one DNR office saying one thing and one the other. The previous operator of the landfill shouldn't have allowed that to happen. Okay? So now it's up to us to hopefully correct it. I will move to adopt the standards, findings, and decision of the City of Franklin Common Council upon the application of the Rock Sports Complex LLC for a special exception to contain or to certain natural resource provisions of the City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance.
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded on discussion. Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I just want to say that the DNR did not wash their hands of it. In fact, they do point out wetland E area in there, and they say, I am not sure if there are plans for disturbing this wetland. That's straight from the DNR document. Also, again, wetland D and F were the only two sent to the Corps for discussion, which did not include a jurisdictional order, and that is part of that one is has nothing to do with the landfill or created. Half of that is completely outside of the project. So I'm fine. I'm going to vote in favor of this, but I would like a little bit more careful follow-through on what's actually being submitted and asked for versus what we're approving, and I would just appreciate that. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Would you be okay if we got all of us got a copy of your 2 o'clock email?
Oh, absolutely. I will forward all those to the board.
Thank you. All right, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, 5 ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G2, First Amendment to the Declaration of Restrictions for Prairie Grass Preserve. As long as you're up there, Mr. Beadle.
The applicant, in this instance, a company that wants to that has bought 5 of the 6 of the 7 vacant duplex lots in the Prairie Grass Preserve subdivision. They would like to build duplexes on 3 of those lots and single-family homes on 3 of the other lots. It's zoned for R7, which is permitted for 1-family or 2-family, but there are documents associated with the subdivision plat that talk about these duplex lots only being allowed for duplexes. So then the applicant looked at those documents, noted that one in particular, the one they're asking for an amendment to the Declaration of Restrictions, that document states that any changes have to be approved by the city, particularly or specifically the Common Council. So the applicant came to the city saying we'd like to change this document, particularly the part that talks about the duplex single families. In reviewing the matter, staff just looked at those documents, agreed that it does say that, although we did catch at the last minute that that document, Declaration of Restrictions, is not one that's typically reviewed and approved by the city. In this case, though, it may have been, and the city attorney may or may not have additional information on that, but I did find some old records that did indicate that that was a topic of discussion at the very least when the Common Council considered and approved the subdivision plan.
The city attorney?
Only that this particular covenants and declarations within this subdivision are a little bit they're different than the norm because of the conservation area within the subdivision and the council's interest. And as I recall, and this is only recollection, I couldn't get to the some foot thick file dating back to 2002, 2003, 2004 to 2005. But the city may have been a contractual party at some point in time with regard to that development. That aside, the Unified Development Ordinance summarizes its requirement for submission of deed restrictions and protective covenants, as well as conservation easements and the like, by simply stating that the purpose for all these requirements is that when there's a common area that requires maintenance by the subdivision and the homeowners association, the city's interest is truly essentially limited, making sure that that maintenance occurs, and if not, that there's an ability by the city to enforce and that. And then it's an administrative review and approval by the city attorney's office, simply for approval signature prior to filing for proper form. And that's a very limited issue. This particular item and staff and its action sheet discussion was getting into whether or not our seven zone lots, which allow for single family or two family development, staff was starting to pick and choose. And that's getting awful close to zoning by contract, if you will, as opposed to the way it should be done. So, long story, I'm talking too much, but I can talk to Alderman Will. I'm called today, and I did talk to Alderman Scranton because he's been working with this subdivision a long time. And the suggestion was a lot more time, and I understand time is not currently of the essence to get the 2 foot or 1 foot thick file out of the archives and see exactly why the city might have some say so, and maybe the proper motion would be contractually here. The city's only interested in the conservation area, and that's so that that revision doesn't get amended. The city has a right of sign off and has no position on this, and there's nothing needed for the city.
So, the proper motion might be to table this
to the next regular meeting in 2 weeks.
Okay, Alderman Skronsky.
I agree that I'll make that motion to table this until the next meeting. I have talked with the petitioner of this, the Newman Company. I've talked with the city attorney. I think it's a very good thing. Those lots have been sitting there. It's not detracting. It's going to enhance that subdivision and finally hopefully bring it to its completion because it's been sitting out there. It's been through some bad years. There's been a lot of problems there, and unfortunately not due to the subdivision itself but just the economy. And I totally concur with the city attorney, and I think put it off for 2 weeks, get the details taken care of. I'm in favor of this, get it done, and get it taken care of. So,
I'm making a motion to table to the next regular meeting of the council. It's been moved and seconded. Under discussion, did you say Mr. Newman?
The Newman Company is the one that is the purchaser of these lots.
The reason I was asking is there was a Mr. Newman that put in a call to me today.
I have no idea. Your Honor?
Yeah. Well, it's we'd have to suspend the regular order of business.
Okay, then let's proceed.
But moved and seconded. Perhaps I can talk to Mr. Newman later. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, five ayes, no noes, ayes have it, motion carries. Or Mr. Newman, is that you that put the call in to me?
Kevin Anderson with the Newman Companies, but to my knowledge, did not call in regards to that.
Okay.
The president from the HOA may have called.
Okay. There was a Mr. Newman from NML of Waukesha. No. So.
Nobody called me.
I'm not sure that it's related to this. Item G3, resolution setting forth the City of Franklin's support of a complete streets policy. Mr. Miklik, did you want to come up and speak? Mr. Miklik is the chairman. I guess there's the motion to move forward on this? Alderman Solomon?
I'll move to adopt the resolution setting forth the City of Franklin's support of a complete streets policy. City of Franklin Complete Streets and Connectivity Committee is the applicant.
Is there a second? Is it moved and seconded? Any further discussion? Seeing none, Alderman Skransky?
I commend the committee and all their hard work and everybody what they've been doing on it. I have the occasion to drive around a lot, and what the sidewalks and complete streets provide, like in our adjacent community in Muskego. They put these streets in and these paths. They're made out of blacktop. They follow the undulating and concurrent landscape, and they look good. They blend in some cases. You don't even know they're there. And they're wide enough. They're 8 feet wide. And you can get in there. You can clean them up. So if mom is going down with the stroller down one way and the bikes are coming the other way, nobody is in any hazard or harm, and it really is good. And they even have spots there that have a sign up there. During the wintertime, this trailer's path is not going to be plowed or open, so please do another route. So, you know, we're in a world of human beings and hopefully intelligence and understanding that you can't take the baby buggy down 6 inches of snow, and the city is not going to take the expense of plowing it out. So find a different route, come spring, enjoy yourself, and have a good time. And that community is every place they go. It's not solid concrete and everything else 5 feet wide. It is a nice path that people can really use and enjoy. And I'll tell you one thing. In my district that I have, I would love to have, because I have very narrow streets, ditches, and everything else. And in the front of my house, I live on 116th Street. That is, during the summertime, and even now, people are walking down that street. And when the car comes along, they step off because they have to, and there's no getting around it. But I think this is really great, and it's really great to have this done in the community.
Alderman Taylor?
Thank you, Honor. Real quick, the main reason I'm going to support this is
county's going to give us
community. No, the county's
not. No.
The second, third be resolved. It says.
What was that? The county's going to pick up the
county. Yeah, county's going to pick up the tab. Well, first off, the reason on the second page, the be resolved, it says very simple. The city will consider, will focus, will encourage, doesn't commit us to doing anything. If this committed us to doing something, I'd vote against it. It also says that, this money is, that we do this is not going to come out of steep stream improvement fund. They're going to figure out how to come up with the dollars, tight budgets. That may not happen. So, this, I think it has merits, but at the same time, it's not required that we have to do anything. So this was a mandatory that every road that we had to, very difficult, because understand, there are many, many people that do not like sidewalks when we put them in.
Right.
Time and time again. So, the concept is good for those that want them. For those that don't, and those have to maintain them, the city's not going to get in the, we can't continue to get in the business of every time we put up a sidewalk, people call their aldermen, and we end up putting that tab on the city. That's got to stop.
Right.
So if the neighbors aren't buying into it, if people aren't buying into it, I can't pass the buck to taxpayers that live on the other side of the city. I won't continue to do that anymore.
Alderman Schmidt.
Yes, going back a few months, we had considerable debate over this with Quick on the Public Works Commission and stuff. It is important that this is a resolution that is not changing the ordinance. And I think it is a good directive for future progress of the city. Obviously, when it was first reported, and now it sounds like we were going to pave the whole city, and all of a sudden the residents started calling. We don't want sidewalks and our paths, trails in our neighborhood. So while we're not going back, try to do the whole city. So, but I think this is a good guideline.
Alderman Wilhelm and Alderman Skransky.
Well, it's probably important to point out that this is already Act 28 State Wisconsin law, and it's already Wisconsin Department of Transportation Chapter 11 Section 46 law. So we're not doing anything that's already not already on the books anyway. It's just saying that we better get ready for it. We better have some ideas on how we might do this, because it's coming at us, and we need to make sure we know what we want and what we're going to ask for. And if there's funding involved, we have to have some discussions on that. And I think this helps the committee have some direction on what they can provide as a recommendation back, and I fully support it.
Hey, Alderman Skransky?
Yeah, years back when these subdivisions were built, the developer and the owners of those properties didn't want sidewalks. They didn't want them in the worst way. And that's why those subdivisions don't have sidewalks today. It isn't that the city wanted it. that's what the developer and the homeowners of the property did not want sidewalks. They wanted to keep it very rural, and that's why they're there today, not that somebody said we're not going to move it.
Your Honor?
Yeah, I think this is of such importance that I wanted to weigh in on it, and that's that Mr. Micklick and I had a recent conversation over this, that I fully support the connectivity program, and that hopefully Franklin will be seen as one of the more connected communities in the nation. People in this community love the Oakleaf bike trail. They love the use of their bicycles. They love taking walks out in the woods. It's evident if you want to see a bunch of happy people, go down to the Oakleaf bike trail. And this also eventually is going to permit children to cross busy streets and not to have a conflict with heavy traffic, which I think all of us would agree is a very, very good thing. I do want to say that I agree with Alderman Skronsky on that. Well, we have always tried to put in cement the sidewalks. We are entering an area where things that we have to do it smarter, quicker, cheaper. And there's people I know that have lived in Muskego and tell me it's a very nice place. And that I've been through there. I think the asphalt paths are a good idea, and they also fit the economy. The last thing is I want to compliment John, and I want to compliment your entire committee for all the hard work that you put in and all the hours. And I really know your heart's in it. And the only question I have, and I guess would be in the statement I have, is that I agree with Alderman Taylor that the resolution as written has will. This is basically a resolution that talks about guidelines. I want to get that to be a part of the record. These are guidelines. This is not an ordinance. This is not something that is mandated or that the Common Council is mandated to come up with new funding sources for this. What needs to happen is this needs to be part of the budget process, like all road and street programs, and needs to be weighed against things like police officers and firefighters, city clerks, and other things. And so when these initiatives come back, they need to be accompanied by a fiscal note. But, John, I think we were talking yesterday about the initiative at the lakefront. And one write-up after another in the paper is talking about how there's going to be this push for connecting downtown Milwaukee with the lakefront. And they kept on saying connectivity, connectivity, connectivity. And in the next sentence, they would say, link to economic development. So, again, I applaud you, and I just want to thank you for all of the hard work. We have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, 5 ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carried.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Item G4, motion to approve intergovernmental agreement, fiscal adjustments.
Second.
Then move to second. Another discussion?
I was going to make the motion for the help.
Oh,
that's
fine. Go ahead.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, 5 ayes, 1 no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Good work, Mr. Worker. Authorization of Department of Public Works to sell miscellaneous surplus equipment.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved. Seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G6, results of survey for extension of sanitary sewer on South 76th Street. Just one comment before I open it up, and that's that there was a gentleman during the citizens' comment period that apparently did not receive mail on this issue. I would notice that in the report that was furnished, and we talked a little bit about, I talked a little bit about this with staff today, that there are some people that had voiced either opinion for or against that are on this, well, they have no reply, which I started wondering. I wonder if, in fact, this was mailed to the correct parties. So,
yeah.
I guess I'll leave it up to Mr. Bennett to give us an update. But it does seem sort of strange that a number of the parties that had come forward and testified on this did not respond at all.
Yes, we do mail these to the property owners of record that receive their tax bills from the city. Some of these are owned by LLCs that may have difficulty getting their mail. If you own an LLC, the person handling it may change, but the LLC is the same. But we did send it to everybody that, and we use the tax records to send it, the best records that we have. We were surprised that we had as many property owners. 8 property owners did not respond, and that surely could have swayed the results one way or another. But we don't send a registered mail because then we even get more returns. The people don't pick up their registered letters, and if they don't pick it up after a couple of deliveries, then it comes back to us, and then we ended up sending a regular letter out. So I don't think there's a problem with a registered letter. It's just that some of these large parcels may not end up going to the right person. But it is amazing. That's about all we can do is send it to us on our own.
Sir, I do see your hand raised. We only recognize people in the audience if there's been a suspension of the rules by the full council. So I just wanted to let you know I did see you. Alderman Skronsky.
Well, that 76th Street is split between Alderman Taylor and myself's district, and we've looked at this and had some questions about it. I would suggest that when I could make a motion, that this go back to the engineering department and to work with us to make sure that these people are called, whether it's by phone, and then get their written statement back to make sure that we have got all these people, because this is a very important item to be. And then, as Mr. Papp has said, that he didn't get a letter or some of the other people didn't get a letter. We just want to make sure that everybody's notified, and if I have to physically put on my side or even whatever Steve wants to do, and rap on the door and make sure everybody is notified about this, because I think it's real important.
Was there a motion in there somewhere?
Yes, there would be a motion to refer this back to the engineering department and to work with the two aldermen on this.
Okay, under discussion, and I am going to ask for suspension of the rules to let Mr. Papp speak. Alderman Willem?
Well, I think I understand what this gentleman's concern is. He got a letter, but I think some of the people that he knows apparently get a letter. So I think that's... He wanted to make sure that was clarified. I'm just looking at this on the 9-4 and 12 against, which was the question he had asked when he stood up at the council meeting. He wanted to know. So out of the 9-4 and 12 against, one of the properties that was 4 out of the 9 was the city. And I guess I don't get a vote on that as a council member, but that was made on our behalf, I guess, which brings it down to 8-4 and 12. If you don't count the city as ourselves, then 4 of those 9 were residents that don't live in Franklin. And so if you took out, I mean, not necessarily that they don't have a say, but what I'm trying to point out is out of the 9-4, 5 of them either out of the city or were the city itself, that only leaves, a few left out of the, and then the 12 against. So I guess I would have suggested to move to delay the decision, or I thought it was Alderman Olson was part of that district. Am I not correct that Alderman Olson has no constituents in this?
I think Alderman Olson's area is not for Ryan.
He's got a couple.
Yeah,
he does have a couple. And I guess being that Alderman Olson isn't here, I thought, he might be interested in this. Of course, he's going to be leaving and replaced by someone else soon. But it might seem appropriate to have all the aldermen that are going to be involved. So I support Alderman Skronsky's motion.
Okay. There's a motion on the floor. It's been seconded for the discussion. Seeing none, all in favor, please take a move. Hold it. Spaff, did you want to speak yet, or do we cover it?
I think she clarified. I received a letter from my next-door neighbor right here. Did not. She called the city, and they told her that we send them out at random. But on the letter, it says everyone's supposed to get them. So then I went door to door in the area that I thought was covered, and another gentleman, I don't know if he'd get his name, but a few houses down from the highway, so he did not receive one either. So
well, the motion that's on the floor would take care of it and send it back to staff to make sure that whoever needs to be contacted will be contacted. So all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, five ayes, no no's, ayes have it. Motion carries. If you have any additional questions, you can contact Mr. Bennett. And again, I apologize. I misunderstood what you said. Item G7, authorization city engineer to sign temporary right of entry and temporary construction easements for private property and flow infiltration project.
Moved approved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Let me try it again. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? Five ayes, no no's, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G8, resolution awarding the 2013 bituminous and aggregate material bids.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Ayes have it. Motion carries. Let's see. Update Wisconsin City County Management Association. I asked Mr. Liberta if he'd be kind enough to put a report together for you. There are
receive and place on file.
The motion to receive and place on file. Is there a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Alderman Wilhelm and then Alderman Solomon.
Well, I just wanted to note in here a couple things that it talks about one particular program discussed at length was a certified site program for advanced review of sites. If you read through that, it sounds like it might be something we would want to consider based on Mr. LeBird's write-up. And I say that because although he talks about review of sites to be certified sites that basically I think are ready to go for development, they say 50-acre minimum, but certainly it sounds like if they'd be willing to talk to us about how we might be able to do sites like the Meyer property, that might be a little bit smaller than that, and we could take that upon ourselves and kind of certify our own sites for development, that might fit into what we talked about on how that project sort of fell apart and how we can direct that to have the proper development in the future. So I'm suggesting maybe instead of just placing this on file that we maybe actually invite this person who's willing to talk to us about these opportunities so we can hear maybe some economic development opportunities for us and how we can maybe not fall into these same situations that we had in the past.
Just on that, so there's clarification, it's been reported in the Business Journal, but falling apart, the Myers basically said that they weren't willing to pay what the property owner was asking for. They said it was a business decision.
And one other issue was the fact that the grants that were noticed in here I thought was pretty interesting, but because I've seen some comments about we shouldn't be using grants because it's taxpayer dollars. When it comes to economic development, the largest portion of economic development funding that's provided through this economic development engine here in front of us is 170 awarded grants and loans. So when people say, let's not support grants, you're saying, let's not support economic development with it either. So.
Alderman Solomon had his hand.
I would just like to thank Mark for putting together a nice summary of the classes that he went to.
Right.
And I really appreciated going through this. In fact, I read it Sunday and I read it again today. So it's very good. Very good job, Mark. Thank you.
Ms. Liberta?
Just very quickly to Alderman Wilhelm's concern. Under the WEDC portion, I did have a sentence that said I would forward a copy of the document to the FFEDC for the review and consideration as to inviting Ms. Hicks-Sorensen to Franklin to speak to the FFEDC. And I'll encourage the staff that supports them that if that gets on their schedule to make sure all the aldermen are notified in advance in the event that they wish to attend that meeting that she might be at.
Yeah, she just attended the ICC meeting, and I came back from it. I said, Mark, give her a call immediately, because it was very refreshing, and the person that came there looking at Supervisor Taylor, I just want to let you know, very, very refreshing, good people.
the official action, could we maybe adjust the motion to send this to the Forward Franklin? At least it would look like we're making some type of...
I think it's in the CDA.
Right.
Okay. Just one thing before we let you off the hook. You talked about the employee trust funds, WRS, and could you maybe talk a little bit more about, is there some possibility now that maybe the city could join the Wisconsin retirement system, or is there?
Well, the city is actively within the WRS through its police and fire. State statute currently prohibits the WRS from taking any further municipalities unless all the employees come in. In the old definitions, all employees would have included even elected officials who are working or presumed to work more than $600 or 600 hours of involvement a year. That portion of the statute has changed. So there are some options based upon Act 32 that have opened that up. So based upon this opportunity to meet directly and talk with, I believe it was that assistant director there, I do have a phone conference. I'm now waiting for a staff member who works with the costing portion of WRS to evaluate if we did look at that and made a switch, how could that impact it? Because that the number has been changed from 600 hours to 1,200 hours. So that would have some change, but I am getting more information. Generally, it is likely to be more expensive and requires some initial output of cash to sort of as a catch-up. Given that their annual contribution rate is 3 or 4 percentage points higher than ours for our plan outside of it. But it is something that I am getting more information on, and as that moves forward and I get more, I'll be sure to include it at a minimum as a report to the personnel.
I guess I'm just trying to get this part of the record. I've been saying this for like 8 or 9 years or even longer that... I think it's in the best interest of the city long term as a retention and recruitment issue, in that I think many of our employees, if at all possible, should be given the option. But I understand you've explained this many times, and Mr. Petrie has also explained it in the past. But it doesn't. It's just the word unfair was put in place for this. So if there's something we can do. And can be brought back to the council for consideration. I would certainly support it wholeheartedly.
Whereas it was a clear obstacle in the past for a variety of reasons, Act 32 did actually create a window of potential that put it back on the investigated further list. So I imagine as part of the entire pension review, it's something that I'll speak with personnel committee about.
Anything on Act 10, or is that too long a discussion?
It's probably a fairly lengthy discussion. You may have heard in the newspaper last week, Tuesday, the State Court of Appeals, and this was part of the discussion we did have at this conference. They were waiting for it at that time, and the State Court of Appeals did come out and decide not to put a stay on Judge Polis's circuit court decision in Dane County. But the interesting part about the decision, if you read it in its entirety, which I did, and I've read 7 or 8 different analyses of it, the interesting part about that decision was they were very careful not to say what it meant for the rest of the state. In fact, they noted that everyone was wondering what it would mean for the rest of the state, and they feel that's not part of the question they need to answer. And they said, in fact, it's going to remain confusing for the rest of the state until ultimately the Supreme Court makes the decision. I'll continue to address it based upon what I believe are the most appropriate and human resources directions that protects the city's interests while treating our employee is appropriate under the current law.
Alderman Wilhelm, did you have a motion?
Well, Alderman Taylor already had a motion, so maybe it would be appropriate for him to amend it to send it to
I'll second my motion, and I'll make a motion to receive and place and file and forward this off to the CEA and the Board of Directors Committee to the chairman of those committees to determine whether or not they want to put it on the agenda.
Okay. Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G10, acquisition of land for the extension of West Market Avenue from South 49th Street to the west line of Pleasant View Elementary School site, parcel number 1, which is the south half of said street extension. If there is no objection, I'm going to read a motion to go into closed
session. I'm prepared to just make the motion without going into closed session unless there is an objection.
Second.
Make a motion.
The motion is to approve the offering price for parcel number 1 located at 7501 South 49th Street for the extension of West Marquette Avenue, yay, from 49th Street, oh, it's not in there.
So yay.
South 49th Street to the west line at Pleasant Elementary School.
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. That's simple.
Maybe I'll reconsider next month. Next meeting, I said. Next meeting. Just as
item H, Alderman Solomon.
Zalewski approved. St. Martin's of First Parish Raffle Auction Dinner approved. St. Martin's of First Parish Talent Show approved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. You have before you a list of vouchers dated March 19th, 2013. Number is 146456 through 146620. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skaronski.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. You have before you the payroll dated March 8th, 2013. Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Solomon.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman
Skaronski. Aye. Five ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. We are adjourned.